Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning as we delve into the Word of God. We also have a website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. Please take a look at it. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of our broadcast, we'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We are looking at great Bible examples. Today we're looking at the great example of forgiveness and the life of Joseph. It has been said Joseph's journey to his highest achievement started on the worst day of his life. Joseph had many bad days, but also had some very good days along the way. In our lesson today, we will study how his faith in God and his forgiving spirit made some of his bad days even better. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob and his first son of Rachel. She had another son named Benjamin. Problems occurred early in his life because of the favoritism that Jacob had for him. Rachel was Jacob's favorite wife and Joseph his favorite son. His treatment of partiality Jacob openly displayed stirred up deep-seated resentment among his brothers. In some ways, Joseph's early behavior did not help the problem. He brought up a bad report about his brothers to his fathers about them tending the flock in Genesis 37 and verse 2 that added to their brothers' distrust. He also related a couple of dreams and implied that he would have authority over his brothers and even his father Jacob in Genesis 37 verses 5 through 11. This caused the brothers to hate him, but when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him, Genesis 37 and verse 4. One day his father sent him to the field to check on his brothers. What did they do when they saw him? Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some wild beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Genesis 37, 18 through 20. Reuben interceded, and Joseph's life was spared. Yet he was thrown down in the pit, and while Reuben was away, his brother saw the Ishmaelites come along and sold their brother into slavery. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh, and his brothers listen," in Genesis 37, 26, and 27. They took his coat of many colors and dipped it in goat's blood and appeared to his father that a wild beast had killed him. Then they went and set the tunic of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. We don't know whether it was your son's tunic or not." And he recognized it and said, "This is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without a doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days, Genesis 37, 32-34. Yet even in all this travail, God was with Joseph. He eventually came to the household of Potiphar, who had brought Joseph to be his slave. Notice he was, and Potiphar knew he was different, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all things to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his whole house, and all that he had he put under his authority, Genesis 39, 3 and 4. Yet things would get worse again in a short time. Let us discuss his life from this time forward to see some powerful lessons concerning God's teaching on forgiveness. Offenses that come call for forgiveness. Teacher once asked her class, "What is the first thing we must do in order to be forgiven?" Little boy said, "First we have to sin." While that may not have been what the teacher wanted, it does show that there are actions which require forgiveness to be extended. There were some of these offenses in the life of Joseph. The treatment that Joseph received from his brother could have embittered him. From Genesis 37, we learned that they envied him. They hated him. They ridiculed him. They stripped him and treated him violently. Think of the cold-heartedness of their hearts to sell their own brother into slavery, then to deceive their father that he had been killed. I had four brothers, and we would get out of sorts with one another, but I could have never hurt them like that. Why? Because I loved them. Joseph's treatment by Potiphar and Potiphar's wife could have embittered him. Potiphar had placed everything under Joseph's hand because God was with him. Later, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce the good-looking young man to commit adultery with her. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she says, "Lie with me," in Genesis 39:7. He persistently refused her advances. One day she tried to force the issue when they were alone in the house. What did Joseph do? "Look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Genesis 39:8-9. She grabbed him by the garments, and he fled, leaving them in her hand. Then she made false charges towards Joseph to her husband, and he was so angry he had him cast into prison. Genesis 39:11-18. Not only this false charge by Potiphar's wife, but the fact that Potiphar would believe them could have embittered him. Genesis 39:19-20. Situation involving the king's butler and baker in prison could have embittered him. The prisoner keeper gave Joseph control of all the prisoners because he saw that God was with him. Genesis 39:21-23. Then the baker and butler each had a dream. Joseph told them both the meaning of their dream. The butler would be returned to king's service. The baker would be hanged in 3 days. What did Joseph ask in return? Remember him when he was released and tell Pharaoh. All the years came to pass, the butler was restored, but he forgot about Joseph for another 2 years. That could have embittered him, but it did not. Joseph journeyed to forgiveness. All these things happened to him, and it could have made him embittered, but he would take a different route. We also began to understand that Joseph wanted to do the right thing. Joseph wanted to do what God would have him to do. God was still with Joseph, although the years passed until things could get better. Finally, the opportunity came. Pharaoh over Egypt had 2 dreams. No one in the kingdom could interpret them. Then the butler regained his memory. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, "I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And when we told him, he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he gave an interpretation according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he has interpreted to us. He restored me to office and he hanged him." Genesis 41:9-13. Joseph is immediately called out of prison. He stands before Pharaoh and correctly reveals the meaning of the dream. Genesis 41:39-46. The Pharaoh appoints Joseph second in command over all of Egypt. He is given duty of making provision for the 7 years of famine that he's just prophesied. And he is grateful to God. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, "For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." And the name of the second he called Ephraim, "For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Genesis 41:51-52. Now the stage is set. Joseph and his family are reunited in chapters 42-46 of Genesis. See the providence of God at work in the life of Joseph. The 7 years of plenty, to do indeed take place. There were 7 years when everything overproduced. Joseph wisely stores the good for the next 7 years that there will be a great famine. There was not only enough food for Egypt, but also for the other nations to come and buy, therefore making Egypt rich and Pharaoh rich. Word had traveled to Jacob and there was no food in it, that there was food in Egypt. Jacob dispatches his sons, say Benjamin, to go down and buy grain so their family could live, in Genesis 42:1-4. Who do you think they have to see to purchase the grain? Joseph. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Genesis 42:6-8. To test their sincerity, he speaks harshly to them and accuses them of being spies. He imprisons them for 3 days and proposes to keep one of them until the youngest one can be brought back to verify their story. Joseph learned something in this exchange with them. Then they said to one another, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore this distress has now come upon us." And Reuben answered to them, saying, "Did I not speak to you, saying, 'Do not sin against the boy'? And you would not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us." But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. And he turned away himself and wept. And he returned to them again and talked with them. And he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes in Genesis 42:21-24. He filled their sacks with grain, replaced the money they had given him. Reuben offered his two sons to his father if he did not bring Benjamin back when they ran out of food again. Jacob would not bear to allow Benjamin to go, but the famine continued. They needed food again. They must take Benjamin, and Judah makes a very passionate plea in Genesis 43:7-13. So they returned to Egypt with Benjamin. They appeared before Joseph once more. Joseph is glad to see his true brother Benjamin. He orders a feast for his brothers in Genesis 43. He is so overwhelmed at the sight of his mother's son, his full brother, he goes off and weeps. Next morning they leave. Joseph again returns their money and places grain in their sack. But he also placed a golden cup in Benjamin's sack. There's still a gnawing feeling in Joseph about conflict, which is still lingering. The pigeons now have come home to roost, and he is in the position to take vengeance and retaliate. We know later why he does not. In Genesis 50, he knew he wasn't God. He wasn't in the place of God. Joseph says his steward to go and fetch the cup. The brothers deny doing such a thing. And even if it's true, the man died and will become his slave. So they said, "Whoever had the cup, be your slave." And when they found it in Benjamin, the older brothers were in great deep distress. So he searched. He began with the oldest and left to the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. He was willing to leave the rest and go, but they must leave Benjamin. In the next session, Judah makes one of the most impassionate pleas recorded in the Bible in Genesis 44:14-34 about the love of his father. Judah offered to take Benjamin's place. He could contain himself no longer. He reveals himself to his brothers in Genesis 45:1-3. The brothers were dumbfounded. What would he do? And Joseph told him to go back and get their father, bring their families back, and he would take care of them and would put them in the best place in Egypt, and he would take care of them so that they would not starve. What did he do? He took care of them. He forgave them. He could have had vengeance, but he chose not to. But when we read in Genesis chapter 50, towards the end of Joseph's life, after his father dies, and now the brothers think he will take vengeance, he does not. He tells him, "Am I in the place of God? You thought to me to do evil, but God meant it for good to save many people alive today." You see, he understood that it was God's providence that put him in Egypt in order that he would save his father and his heritage when the famine hit. But you see, he was willing to forgive. We need to have that same attitude. In Matthew 6:14-15, God says our forgiveness from him is dependent upon our willingness to forgive our brother when he sins against us. Joseph is a great example of what it means to truly forgive one who has harmed us and done us wrong. He was able to do it. We can do it. And we must do it in order to be forgiven by God.